Well, good morning. Great to be with you this morning and to be with you this week. How many of you have been praying for Mongolia this week already? I'm going to bring you a couple words from my colleagues here that you see on the screen behind you, behind me, and behind you. And they're going to be Mongolian words, actually. So we're going to try that good morning again in Mongolian. And if you please, please repeat after me. Sanbano. Good. That just means, do you have good? Do you? The second word I want to bring you is also in Mongolian, and it's from your missionaries, and it's from your brother, your Mongolian brothers and sisters who worship the same king as you do. Bayerla. So I just said thank you to you, and you just said thank you back to me, and I will carry that word to them for you. I'm going to ask you a few questions about Mongolia. Some of you may not have been here with any of the other talks this week, so you may not know anything about Mongolia. So before I start, let's get on the right place on the globe. And I do give out prizes for good answers, gifts for good answers. It's a real easy one. Where in the world is Mongolia? Between what two countries? Okay. So you kind of all answered that together, so I don't know who to give the gift to. Here's a tougher one. How many people live in Mongolia? Who said that? Steve can have that right there, and he can catch. All right. A little bit tougher question. Let's talk about the Christian and Missionary Alliance. This is a question I haven't even shared with you yet, but can anyone guess how long the Christian and Missionary Alliance has been in Mongolia? 20 years is good. That's an excellent answer. Went in 97, so we're going to give him a round number. I like round numbers, right? Okay, here's a little bit tougher now about the Christian and Missionary Alliance, of which this one is one of 2,000 in our country. How many missionaries do our 2,000 network of 2,000 churches in America support around the world? Yeah. 700, who said it? I heard it. Who said it? Oh, Randy, yeah, you can have that too. Missions Mobilizer. Okay, now, one of the things that I may not have that you may not have seen in the video was that, but you may have been able to pick up on this, is that Mongolians are basically the Asian cowboy. And although I was raised in this suburban Seattle area over on the other side of Lake Washington, I have a little bit of cowboy in my background and blood as well. I used to compete in professional rodeos. And though this may not look like a real cowboy hat to you, this is the kind that Mongolians actually wear. So if you were walking around and you saw a guy with his great big belt buckle and his big robe, like some of you have seen this week, you would see more like this kind of a hat representing a cowboy hat. I actually was in Montana in some of our Alliance churches there this winter, and this is a really warm hat, so I can see why they wear these felt ones here. So that's a little bit about the Alliance and about Mongolia. Our 2,000 churches in this country have a national office in the Colorado Springs, in the center of the country, and they come up with not only themes for our missions talks, but they come up with strategies. And one of them, there's still a few more of those globes on the back of table there. If you look at that globe, can someone read the ball that I just threw them? Please read. Give access. And so the theme, the strategy for the Alliance around the world is gospel access for and from all peoples. So that's the third word after Sanbeno and Bayerla that I'm sharing with you is GAFAP. Gospel access for and from all peoples. Can anyone repeat that back to me? Okay, so everybody did it. I'm out of ammo anyway here, so So that's one of the, and so what is the gospel? When we talk about the gospel, we can talk about Mongolia and we can talk about the alliance as long as we want, and no one here's life is going to get changed. So we're going to talk about the gospel, and it's about Jesus, folks, and what he did for you and what he did for me. And he chose you. And so the theme that the alliance leaders have given us this year comes out of 1 Peter. So if you want to turn in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to hear about this alpha disciple, alpha apostle of Christ. And I don't know why you came to church today, but I believe you were chosen, and I believe I was chosen. And I'm going to tell you the story of how I was chosen to belong to him today. If you start in 8, the actual theme comes out of verse 9, but I'm going to start one verse before, and it says, are you there? Okay. The stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were all appointed. Anybody know what original sin is? We're born into this world already tainted. A lot of the world doesn't like to believe that. I didn't like it. You'll hear that story in a little bit. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession. And in the King James translation of the Bible from 400 years ago, the word for chosen there is peculiar. Does anybody like to be called peculiar? Do you like to be called peculiar? Huh? It just means I'm one of God's children, with all the connotations that it's. Can anybody say I'm one of God's children this morning? I am. Amen? Doesn't offend me being called peculiar. A people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from the fleshly lusts which wage against the soul. How many of you like being called aliens? Huh? I've been called an alien. I've been to other countries when they said, you're a foreigner. You're a Weguk Saddam, if you know that language. You'll hear that story hopefully in a little bit, as I remember to tell it to you. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in this thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify him when God comes for us. Submit yourself, therefore, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether to a king as one in authority, or to governors sent by him to punish evildoers and praise those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. And then it goes on to say, act as free men. And this morning, if the Son of God has set you free, you are free indeed. Amen? Mongolians are so impressed by this book. So impressed by this book because they really love America. They want to get to America. And they're so impressed by this book because they know our history, that 45 of our leaders have put their hand on this book and pledged to lead our country in a way that is honoring. And even the ones who don't believe the Bible, who have never read the Bible like I hadn't, after 25 years of living in this country, they respect the Bible and they want to possess a Bible. Their own Bible is a Buddhist one, and it's one that is written in a foreign language. Tibetan Buddhism is written in Tibetan, and the Mongolians don't speak Tibetan, they speak Mongolian. So even their own monks cannot understand their own scriptures, so that when they go to a holy, sacred service, the monks are chanting something that none of the people can understand, and even he himself cannot understand. on my back table, there is a Mongolian Bible written in Mongolian. So what a blessing for this nation to have a Bible that they understand, an invitation, a love letter from their God who made their country and ours and is inviting them to the eternal country. It's a privilege and a pleasure to get to be on a team that, with your help, gets to do that in this country that I've come to love. I'm gonna go through this slideshow here, but I'm first going to tell you a few stories. My talk is basically entitled Peculiar People in the Bible, Peculiar People in America, and Peculiar People in Mongolia. And the slideshow goes with the latter part there. Peculiar People in the Bible. It's already been mentioned this morning that Peter, the Alpha Apostle, when the authorities came to arrest his friend Jesus, drew a sword and cut off the ear of his servant. And they even have the name of his servant written in the scriptures. Does anybody know the name of the guy who had his ear cut off? Malchus is right. What did Jesus say? He rebuked him and said, "Put your sword away." There was another man who was also a violent man whose name was Saul, who was, after Jesus had risen from the dead, was going around and finding people of the way, God's chosen people, Jewish people who had chosen to believe in Jesus, and was throwing them into prison, was even going to foreign cities to throw these people of the way into jail. And one day, Saul of Tarsus, a world city of his time, was on the way from Jerusalem to Damascus, Syria. And he was with a few other people, and he was riding his horse, and he was going there to throw the people of God into jail. And he had letters from authorities to persecute God's people. And a light from heaven flashed and blinded him and knocked him off his horse. And a voice said to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And it was the voice of Jesus, the very one that he was going to persecute. How many of you, when you have bad health, you pay a little bit more attention to God? How many of you, when you lose one of your major of your five senses, are paying a little bit more attention to the invisible God who can heal you? Jesus got Saul's attention, changed his name to Paul, sent him into the city of Damascus, said, "Go to the people that you were about to persecute, and one of them will pray for you, and you will be healed." And a man did come to him. How would you like the assignment of going to pray for the local terrorist? How many of you how many of my Mongolian friends, or how many of you would like to go back in time to 1206 and go, and it's my job to go and pray for Genghis Khan, right? The terrorist of his day. But that believer, whose name was Ananias, was obedient and had faith enough to go and pray. And something like scales fell from Paul's eyes, and he was able to see, and he became a believer that day. And then he went to meet Peter and all the rest that he was trying to persecute, and understandably, they were afraid of him. Paul went on to write a third of the New Testament and became the apostle, not to the chosen people who he was trying to persecute, but the chosen people to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, and traveled all around the Mediterranean planning God's churches. And so that's peculiar person number one and two from the Bible. Peculiar people from America. One of them stands in front of you. As I said, I was raised in Kirkland, Washington. Ended up making it through school there, Lake Washington High School I graduated from. Ended up going to college in Ellensburg, Washington, where me and my family currently reside. And made it through high school and college alive, not following Jesus, had never read the Bible. But one thing happened while I was in college there. I had a brother whose life I had seen change before my eyes. Stopped chasing the wrong things, started to pursue a right relationship with a godly girl, changed the way he talked, changed the way he walked, and one day he comes to me and says, "I want to give you this, Jer, so you can get your stuff together before you die." Any of you know how brothers talk to each other? I didn't know what to do with a Bible. And that wasn't even the only Bible I got given in college. I was walking to class one day and a bunch of pretty girls, probably from the local college group or whatever, handed me a green Gideon Bible. So I had been given two Gideon Bibles in college. Never read them my whole career there. But 2 years after I graduated, I had heard an ad on the radio saying, if you have a bachelor's degree, you can go anywhere in the world and teach English as a second language. So just before 1996, a couple days after Christmas, right before 1996, I was on a plane from SeaTac to Seoul, Korea. And I told my brother before I left, I'm bringing that Bible that you gave me. And when I got there, I started to read it. And the Jesus that I was reading about, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, started to reveal himself to me as I walked around this lonely, single American young guy in a city of 20 million people. I started to sense that this Jesus was with me and was coming after me. Pretty soon, Korean missionaries started to, God started to send Korean Christians to me, and then finally a Korean missionary shares with me this message, and I'm going to share it with you, the gospel. Number one, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. As a 24-year-old young man with no plan, that was pretty good news. So that was a good hook for me. He said, do you believe that? I said, yeah, I'm listening. He said, the bad news is man is sinful and cannot know that plan and cannot experience that love. The third part, he said, do you want to hear more? I said, yeah. He said, the good news is Jesus Christ came to take away your sins so that you could know that love and experience that plan, live that plan. And the fourth thing he said is you don't get the benefit of the blood of God, that sacrifice for your sins, just by being an American, just by growing up with some roots in some religion, or just by having come to Sunday school or your family had always been a certain denomination. Each sinner receives that sacrifice for their sins by faith individually. And so he asked me, would you like to receive the gift of eternal life? And the answer I gave perplexed me. It was out of my mouth before I even knew what it was. And my answer was, we don't do that. What did I mean? The religion from my past that couldn't keep mom and dad married, that couldn't keep me from doing all kinds of dark deeds throughout my high school and college career, was now I was going to use it as a shield to keep this eternal life, the God's greatest gift, out of my life. Why? It's because we are prideful and don't want to come into the light, just like the word we read just said. Amen? I was sharing this story this week. On Thursday, I went up to North Seattle to see my dad. He's in an assisted living center. And I was telling this story, and like on step three of that story, that four-part gospel story I just shared with you, I realized he's ready. He doesn't need to hear anymore. I said, Dad, did you want to do this? He goes, yeah, let's do it. And so, my dad on Thursday told God that he was thankful for the sacrifice of his sin and expects to go to heaven now because of what God, amen? And Dad's memory isn't great anymore, but right after he did it, this was his response. It's a big day. And it really was a big day. Amen? So if you're here today and you haven't nailed that down, why not nail it down on that day when the missionary came to speak about Mongolia, but Jesus touched your heart and you got saved? And you, why not nail down today that you know for sure you're going to heaven? So that's peculiar American person number one. Peculiar person number two, you will meet in the following way. Once I got saved, I started going to a big Bible church in Kirkland. And it was kind of so big that I needed a little bit more fellowship, and I was still a single man, so I started going to the singles group. And a brother who had grown up as a missionary kid in Africa invited me to come on a missions trip to Mexico. And I was like, I work at a restaurant. I don't have a lot of money. How am I going to go to Mexico? He said, will you pray about it? Do you want to go? And I said, okay, I'll pray about it. Early 1997, I was on a plane to Mazatlan, Mexico. Later on that summer, I was on a plane down to Honduras doing short-term missions. In 1998, I was on the way back from a missions trip to Syria, Lebanon, and even Damascus. Greece, Lebanon, and Damascus, Syria. And I had to travel separate from the rest of my group from Kirkland. There were four of us on the group, but I had to travel separate on a day, came back a day early. So I was traveling alone, and I'm transferring planes in London, getting on my final leg of my flight back to North America. And I needed to sit over here by the window, but there was a little lady in between me and the window. And so I was getting ready to sit down, and she says, would you like me to scoot over so you know you can have the aisle? And I didn't really care, but I said, okay. And so I sat down and started to talk to this little lady that seemed very friendly, and I asked what she had been doing, and found out that she had been in England and in France. And I said, where were you in France? Oh, in Normandy. Where did you stay, like in a youth hostel? No, we stayed in churches. I said, are you a Christian? And she said, yeah. I started to hear her story and learned that she had grown up in an alliance church like this, and during missions conference, a missionary from Asia had said, does anyone sense during missions conference that the Lord might want them to serve him in a cross-cultural missionary way? And she had come down the aisle at age 12. I really liked what I was hearing. I really liked what I was seeing. And at the end of that eight-hour flight, I got a hold of her address. But only 1 hour into that eight-hour flight, I wrote in my journal, I don't see how I'm not going to end up marrying this girl. And as my kids like to say, you guys met on a plane, and here we are. So that's peculiar person from America, number two. Number three is, in an alliance church in Raleigh, North Carolina, there was a man who in the 2009 downturn lost his job. God started to give him a vision of creating a basketball coaching academy in that kind of basketball mecca, state and city. And so he wrote it all down and he went to the elders. They said, yeah, go ahead and do it. We've got the gym. And today, this basketball academy connected to an alliance church in Raleigh, North Carolina, employs five full-time coaches year-round and produces disciples every year. And I was there in June, just 11 months ago, and I saw somewhere close to 10 kids out of the 60 campers go forward for the first time and pledge their allegiance to Christ. Amen? One of the goals of missions is fruit and fruit that lasts. So those are three peculiar people from America. Now we're going to get into the peculiar people from Mongolia. And we're going to get into this slideshow a little bit here. How many of you have heard me talk this week about the Dave Ramsey of Darhan? Okay, that's him on the right there. He served as our alliance president for 4 years, and then his term expired, and now there's a different president. When he was 18 years old, he started coming to some church meetings, and he was about this age probably, and he was not all that excited about Jesus, but he liked that there was something to do, and there was a cute girl. And so he sort of started to like Bina, and the pastor saw that. And are you guys able to follow with me here? Okay. How old are you guys? Okay. So not quite yet. Okay. So there was definitely a connection and a pulling on the human level, but then Dawa, as his Mongolian name, started to realize he was starting to be drawn to Jesus. And he came to Jesus, and he was still attracted to Bina. And so at some point, after he had come to Jesus, the pastor, whose authority he was now under, said, okay, now you go back home. You go back 45 minutes away to where you come from, and you know, that's enough. You guys are getting awful friendly here, okay? And so, obedient son that he had become, he went back home. And One of the ways God blessed him for that obedience was giving him a job. As an 18-year-old, he needed a job. He ended up getting a job with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. We needed a guard for our outreach center. His salary was somewhere in the neighborhood of about $20 a month, but he was faithful with that $20 to give God his one-tenth. And he was so, his trust in God and the missionaries was a lot higher than his trust in himself. And so he said a lot of the workers in those days would have the missionary withhold the 10% and make that tithe for them because they didn't trust themselves. Today, his last position was manager of that whole other 15 employees of that outreach center. I already told you he was the Alliance president, and he is the Dave Ramsey of Darhan, which means he has created a system to help other Mongolians who struggle severely with debt to get out of debt and to organize them into groups where they not only find freedom from their debts, but freedom from their sins. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us. So the Dave Ramsey materials have been translated into Mongolia and are being used by Dave there. And here's a picture of us on the most beautiful lake in Mongolia. Maggie and Lydia here were like this big when we first went there in 2006. And we were surprised at how few people there were. And one of my dreams at that time, back in 2006, was to get our church leaders up there. So 10 years later, my dream of getting to bring our church leaders up to this most beautiful corner of their own country came to fruition. We had a training for all the leaders, and then we're able to take a boat ride out on this 100-mile-long lake. What else you got there? So here's some more peculiar people, the rest of my family. This is us on the first day of school before going to school in Ellensburg. And this is what we looked like 10 years ago. When we first went to Mongolia, Maggie was only 3 and Lydia 2, and Johanna there was only 2 months old. Here we are 2 years later after language school, and you can see they grew up. One day, I'll just tell one story about Maggie since she's here. One day she comes home from preschool, and I'm hearing words from her that I haven't even learned in a year of everyday language school. And I'm like, Maggie, what does that mean? What does that mean? And it was humbling to be learning from your own 4-year-old, number one. But one of the kids that was in her class came to her birthday party. Renee invited this mom and a little boy this high to her birthday party. And after that birthday party, we moved 3 hours away to another place. And language school is really tough. If it wasn't a hard and fast rule, I tell you, I wouldn't be fluent today. But the Alliance expects and really makes sure that all of their missionaries put in 2 whole years But I got a lot of cabin fever because you're a grown man, you're used to working, and your job is to sit there and talk like an infant. So I got a lot of cabin fever, and the cure for my cabin fever was to go out 3 hours away and build a cabin. So then out in this countryside location, we hosted a team in 2010 from a small church in Ohio, and we were using the Bible to teach them English and also teach them sports. And so can you see what Bible verse we were using there? Do you know that Bible verse? Would you stand up and recite it for us? Yes. Good. That's the verse that my boy knows. As part of this camp, there was another verse that we were using. And Clara's not in the room, but the girls might remember this story. they come to me while we're trying to teach with all the hand motions and stuff, this other Matthew verse, which is a real missions alliance verse. And they say, Dad, come here, Dad. I'm like, kids, can't you see I'm working? I'm a minister here, right? I'm working. And they said, yeah, Dad, but come here. And they say, say it, Claire. And would anybody want to share with the church what Clara was able to say? Girls? Matthew 24:14. Can anyone recite that? And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. What I usually say at this time in the service is that when I was you guys' age, I didn't even know what John 3:16 was. They would hold it up on a poster, you know, at a football game or something, and I had to ask people in my class, what is that? What is John 3:16? Now, and they just said, oh, it's a Bible verse. That's all they said. No one said, God so loved the world. So here these Mongolian kids are learning about God's love because of this team that you're on that sends people like us to faraway places. So they get to know, and some people in our own neighborhoods still don't know. Okay, so here's the cabin that cured my cabin fever. Once you get halfway into a construction project, God bless you guys in that parsonage project, by the way. Yeah, you wonder, what did I get myself into? But here it is, finally finished, and David and Dawa and Bina came to visit us right before it was time for us to move back to the same city where we studied language and where we currently live. So we got to do about 3 years in the countryside. And it was sad for Clara because that we carried her into that house when she was about 3 weeks old, and she was about 3 and a half when we left. So it was the saddest for her. And when your kids are sad, you're sad too. So it was a hard move to move that 3 hours back, but we know it was the right move to make. You see you saw the basketball hoop there in the back behind Dawa's head? That was the kind of the beginnings of our basketball ministry. All the neighbor kids were always over saying, can I play, can I play, can I play? And so that was kind of the beginnings of basketball ministry. What else you got? Here's just getting to know our neighbors happened kind of around the holidays. Here's Christmas cookies, here's New Year's. Maggie learned a lot of language at the local preschools, but one of the things that she may have also picked up from eating with Mongolians is they lick their bowls. I hope she's not too embarrassed by that. Okay, next. And so this is the second phase of my using basketball to get the gospel out. My neighbor boy, who's holding kind of a white envelope there, he has the cash prize for winning second prize in this tournament that they asked me to sponsor. So I'm like, well, in America, we usually don't use cash prizes for incentive, but win in Rome, we'll do it. So he got second prize here, but he became one of the best players in his town. And this was the beginning of using basketball because I saw how crazy they are for basketball. What else you got? Moving back, the upper left-hand corner is the school that the kids went to, the preschool. And then in the lower right-hand quadrant, this is rebuilding a church building and using volunteer labor in a program I started called Food for Work, which takes unemployed people, and they need work, and to have them do good works like rebuilding a church that had become dilapidated. And this is the center that we manage with 15 employees. You see the pink building on the right, that lady's getting some free food. The ones with the certificates are graduating from the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University stuff. And then there's also family counseling. And that's one of the families that was receiving counseling from our counseling center. Another Food for Work project. It's so great when you have this outreach center and a lady comes in and says, I lost my house. My house burnt down. Can you help? And because people like you give to the Great Commission Fund and give to our Work Special Fund, we happen to have the $2,000 it took to refurbish and rebuild her house. And we were able to do that, not with our own labor, but with volunteer Mongolian labor, guys who needed work. Sometimes you build these new church buildings, and people still, they want to know, but they need an invitation. And so not just an invitation to come in and look around, but would you come for a makeover? And Renee was on the makeover team, and the kids got to help out with that as well. We started more basketball ministry here. Some of you have heard me talk about the importance of involving the parents in outreach to children. If you're not involving the parents and calling them to also pay their local buy-in piece of the picture, you're kind of going to be caught babysitting, and you're not going to see a lot of fruit. So we hosted this parents meeting saying, okay, we've been training your kids in basketball. What are you going to do? One guy goes, I have a trophy. Another guy goes, I can do this. Another guy does, and we hosted a tournament together participating with the parents, and then we can influence them with the gospel too, not just babysitting their kids for them. We made it back to Mongolia for our third term in 2014, even though it was a long trip and the Beijing airport has very few benches. We did make it back to our nice little apartment in Mongolia, and there's Renee with her best friends, Baina and Nina and Zodla, all three serving in the church. And on the way back from our recent term, we had to stop by Black Forest Academy, which is where the kids applied to go to boarding school and to have a normal high school experience with other missionaries' kids. And then we also got to stop by and see a 1,000-year-old cathedral. When you're in Mongolia and ISIS is raging and everybody's, you know, the whole, it seems like Christianity is just falling apart, it is so helpful to go into a 1,000-year-old cathedral and see that Christianity has been around a long time. And though the Genghis Khan's kingdom was big, it only lasted about 100 years. So the kingdom of God, even though Genghis Khan had the largest land area kingdom the world has ever seen, bigger than Alexander the Great or the Romans or anything else, God's kingdom is a lot bigger and a whole lot better. Amen? More basketball. And so going back for another term, we're wanting to see a basketball academy like the one in North Carolina born and bear fruit. And fruit that lasts. We want it to be an employer of youth pastors and other pastors as our coaches, but also that we would see the boys and girls come to Christ and become leaders of their families, leaders in churches, and we appreciate your prayers joining us, getting us there through three terms by your giving, by your prayers. And if you go to the next slide, there's a way that you can sign up on our newsletter to get our news quarterly on how you can pray, and appreciate your partnership. Great to be on this worldwide team with you. And if you have questions, I intend to answer them in the after lunch in the downstairs. So, one last thing. If you feel throughout this week, just like Renee did, that God may be calling you to serve in cross-cultural full-time missions, would you be interested in standing up? And I'd like to pray for you and with you. Sometimes the ones who are called are in the kids' church, and so I'm hopeful that this is happening down there too. Will you pray with me? There we go. Boom. Here's one. Any more? There we go. Yay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for choosing us to belong to you, and not just to belong, but to extend your grace to a world that so desperately needs it. Although they don't see that need, we see it. And we want to be on your team, reaching out around the world. Thank you for the alliance. I pray you use it to extend your grace and your kingdom. And you're so good to us. We love you. Thank you for first loving us. And we pray that you will get glory today in everything we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.